Salam sejahtera, anda bersama saya Reza Zulkarpi dan ini Niaga Awani. Semalam kami melaporkan kerajaan sedang merangka pelan pemulihan ekonomi pelbagai jangka bagi memulihkan ekonomi negara yang terkesan akibat penularan COVID-19. Timbalan Menteri di Jabatan Perdana Menteri Ekonomi Arthur Joseph Kurok berkata strategi pelan berkenaan bertujuan merancakkan kembali pertumbuhan ekonomi pasca COVID-19. Kata beliau, ia merangkumi langkah melestarikan teras ekonomi alam dan juga sosial negara. Selain itu, unit perancangan ekonomi EPU juga akan menyusun dan mengkaji semula pelan rancangan Malaysia ke-12 dengan mengambil kira keadaan ekonomi terkini. Dalam pada itu, Arthur berkata kerajaan juga sentiasa realistik dalam memastikan pertumbuhan ekonomi negara kekal berada di landasan pembangunan yang mampan dan inklusif. Antara yang perlu dilihat termasuk kebergantungan kepada sektor minyak dan gas yang menyumbang sebanyak 20% kepada pendapatan kerajaan. Ini terutamanya di tengah ketidaktentuan yang tinggi berkenaan harga minyak global. Mengulas lanjut, katanya kerajaan akan berusaha dengan lebih agresif untuk menarik pelaburan langsung asing FDI ke dalam negara selain mempelbagaikan lagi sumber pendapatan negara. Nah, sementara itu, Malaysia perlu memberikan perhatian kepada strategi sistem perlindungan sosial Malaysia secara keseluruhan. Ini termasuk sepanjang tempoh PKP dalam fasa pemulihan ekonomi dan jangka masa panjang. Menurut ahli ekonomi kanan Kumpulan Bank Dunia Malaysia, Dr. Hakim Shmilan, dalam tulisan bertajuk Melindungi Mata Pencarian dalam Normal Baru, biarpun semua tahu banyak perkara akan berubah, namun, menurutnya sifat dan perincian perubahan ini masih belum dikenal pasti.
Tambahnya, salah satu aspek normal baru pelindungan sosial di Malaysia adalah dengan melindungi pekerja tidak formal yang kebanyakannya terdiri daripada golongan B40 dengan lebih baik. Tambahnya, cabaran utama pelindungan sosial adalah untuk memastikan ia diberikan pada golongan yang memerlukan dengan cara yang paling berkesan. Dr. Hakim Shmilan memberikan tiga aspek utama norma baru dalam perlindungan sosial termasuk perlindungan melalui sokongan pendapatan langsung dalam bentuk bantuan tunai. Namun menurutnya, ciri pekerjaan tidak formal ini menjadikan bantuan khusus tersebut usaha yang mencabar. Beliau menambah bantuan tunai tambahan mungkin diperlukan memandangkan pakej sokongan ekonomi yang diumumkan menjangka krisis ini hanya akan berlalu dalam masa 2 hingga 3 bulan. Dalam masa yang sama, semua bayaran BPN yang dijadualkan akan tamat selepas Mei 2020. Namun ramai berpendapat impak krisis ini ke atas golongan B40 akan berlarutan lebih lama. Tegasnya, penyaluran yang lebih besar bantuan ini kepada penerima program BSH harus dipertimbangkan. Ketiga, usaha untuk menghebahkan program BSH dan BPN kepada isi rumah berpendapatan rendah boleh ditingkatkan. Tambahnya, kempen komunikasi harus dilaksanakan bersama kerajaan negeri dan tempatan, organisasi keagamaan, organisasi kebajikan dan badan bukan kerajaan. Ini bagi memastikan kumpulan yang tidak celik digital sedar tentang bantuan yang disediakan oleh kerajaan. Tegasnya, krisis COVID-19 merupakan cabaran global dan Malaysia tidak bersendirian dalam perjuangan ini. Menurut Dr. Hakim Shmilan, normal baru memberi peluang kepada Malaysia untuk memperkukuhkan lagi sistem perlindungan sosial supaya tiada kelompok rakyat di negara ini ketinggalan.
Dan bersama kita untuk membincangkan artikel ini adalah ahli ekonomi kanan Kumpulan Bank Dunia Malaysia, Dr. Hakim Shmilan. Dr. Hakim, hi, thank you for joining us this morning. You wrote one big change for Malaysia is to find ways that the existing social protection system can better cover the informal jobs where most lower income workers find their livelihoods. Now, how do we ensure that the social protection measures announced can reach as many of these individuals working the informal jobs as possible?
Well, first of all, good morning, Rizal. I'm very happy to be talking to you this morning, and I would wish that you, everyone in your office, and all viewers at home are staying safe and are staying healthy in these difficult times. Now to your question, I actually think that the new BPN program that was announced as part of the second economic support package is already a very important step in the right direction, and that it will cover the majority of households in Malaysia, and probably the large majority of the B40 households that need the most support. But how do we get from a large coverage to as close as possible to as a full coverage of the B40 as we can? I think for that to happen, communications will be extremely important, and probably communications in three ways. First, using traditional media, broadcast media, newspapers. Mm-hmm. Second, using new media, the internet, social media, mobile applications. But then third, very important, also outreach efforts. Really using partners like state and local governments, like civil society organizations, charitable organizations, religious organizations that reach the last mile to make sure that everyone, even those that don't consume traditional media, that are not digitally literate, are aware of the support that's being offered.
Mm-hmm. And what do they have? What do these organizations have that the government system alone or the government alone cannot, don't have to better deliver this aid?
I think it's not one or the other. I think it's really the government working together with various partners. I think the government systems are actually pretty good to begin with. We have a lot of very positive features. For instance, that all BSH recipients are automatically enrolled to BPN, that all those who have filed a tax return recently are enrolled if they are eligible. So these are very important features. But of course, sometimes the government is not so much on the ground as some of these other organizations that I've mentioned. So really using the advantages of every stakeholder will be key to getting as close to perfect coverage as we can.
And you also said that further rounds of cash transfers may be needed. And do you think the government should announce this and maybe other fresh measures for businesses together with each new extension of the MCO to provide stability and to provide an element of anchoring the people and businesses to something that they can plan in the future, for the future?
So in my view, it doesn't necessarily have to be the case that each new announcement of another 2 weeks of MCO or how long the period would be will go hand in hand with announcement of new measures. It doesn't have to be like a one-to-one match, but I do agree that anchoring expectations is really important. And I think what we see when we really look internationally, what's best practice? What would we advise governments to do? I think they should make clear statements about the challenges that we are facing, about the measures that they intend to implement, and then third, about the objectives that these measures are meant to achieve at the end of the day. And I think that can really be important. It can be important for financial markets, really anchor the expectations of players there. It can be important for workers and for firms because, yeah, we'll have a new normal, and these statements can help everyone adjust. And last but not least, it can really, for the entire society, be something like a social compact where we all know what's happening and where we know we are in the same boat and we're in on this together.
But you mentioned that the world of work is expected to change, but as yet known in unknown ways. We don't know what these changes are going to be. So how can government, many other different parties predict what is going to happen in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Or should they be able to maybe get as close as possible to that ideal situation or that grave situation in the next 2 or 3 weeks?
I think the response really has to be twofold. I mean, once this is still the MCO period, it's a very tough period for all Malaysians, frankly. And so there has to be an emphasis on managing this acute period and providing relief to those who need it. But at the same time, I do agree that eventually we'll come to more of a recovery phase, and the government has begun to talk about that. I think that's actually very, very positive because we need to plan ahead. Now, with regard to the world of work, we don't know exactly what will happen, but I think we have certain ideas. We know some trends that were probably happening relatively slowly before, like more people working from home, more people working in non-standard forms of employment. So not like a 9-to-5 job, a paycheck every month, but maybe more working as contractors. This is probably going to accelerate. The digitization of work is going to accelerate. All these trends that were happening slowly, all of a sudden, are here like full force with people ordering food from home, people ordering goods from home, and all of these things happening very quickly. And so I think that means planning for these changes and getting ahead of the curve and thinking, how can we make sure that Malaysians are ready for this change and can take on the new jobs that are being created and that in some ways, well, are replacing old jobs will really be crucial.
And you also mentioned that the B40 based on the BSH data should be the focus of the next rounds of cash transfers and recovery packages or plans and not the wider BPN beneficiaries. Share with us the rationale behind that.
So basically the argument I try to make is that, well, with any support there are different objectives that one might want to achieve. I think one objective, for instance, might be to support those in need. Another objective is to provide broader support for both B40 and M40. And, well, now, both of these objectives are worthwhile. I think it's very hard to say, what's an ideal solution? How can we ideally move forward? Well, but that being said, my sense is that it's worth to at least consider using the BSH program moving forward if additional support is needed, because this program is focused on the B40. And as we have seen in the news, as we've seen in your program on Astra Awani, the B40 really are struggling a lot. And mm-hmm. so I think it's worth considering to see what can be the best support for this group.
And how do we ensure, I know you've mentioned a bit of this earlier, but how do we ensure that the unbanked people in remote areas, micro SMEs, are also getting this this assistance or this aid on time for them to ensure that whatever, you know, how long the extension is, they are also protected during this period?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult challenge. I think we have to recognize that, first of all. Second, I think the communications efforts that I mentioned will be crucial. Mm-hmm. But third, I think we also need then something what I would call simplification of the delivery chain. So what does that mean? It means that registration, intake, getting benefits through BSH, through BPN, through any other support that's being offered really has to be as simple, as streamlined as possible. And in particular, we need to be aware that while most Malaysians have a cell phone, most Malaysians even have a smartphone, not all of them do. And so we need to make sure that even rural villages, even those off the grid, need to be included, need to be able to access the support. And one additional point, if I may, kind of to talk again a bit about the delivery chain, which is not only the registration, but then also the services or the payment at the end of the day. We need to be aware that COVID-19 is a very contagious disease. And so whatever we do needs to be aware of that. And for instance, when it comes to payments, we need to be sure that in the spirit of social distancing, these payments really as much as possible will be electronic.
And this is part of the new normal that you mentioned earlier, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, exactly. This is going to be with us for a while and we need to adjust.
And what new measures do you think should be included in the next recovery package or plan that the government has announced yesterday? What do you think, some of the measures that were not in the previous recovery or stimulus package or plans could be in the next recovery package or plan?
I think, Rizal, my sense is that the government has already been quite comprehensive in its response. Going forward, I would say the three broad principles are that we need to consider three groups that will need continued support. These are first households, and so there will be a need if the crisis continues, even to a certain part of the recovery, a need for additional support in terms of cash, maybe in terms of services more and more for households. The other two groups are firms and are workers. And I think these are the two groups which are already being supported, but for the most part, what's happening now, and for good reason, is really helping them keep going, helping firms survive practically, and helping workers keep their jobs. Again, this will need to continue for a while, but in the recovery phase, I think what's really needed then is a shift of attention to from kind of survival to growth in terms of helping firms grow, helping new firms grow, and also helping jobs grow and making sure that those Malaysians who might really be struggling, who might lose their jobs now in spite of all the efforts, will get back into work.
And Dr. Hakim, I know we want to discuss your article, but can we just maybe deviate a bit and look at the gradual opening of economies around the world? Is there a best way or a best practice as to how to do it? Because I think some countries are starting to open their economy or reopen their economies in early May. Some are doing it mid-May. Some states in America are already doing it. Is there a best way to look at this and address this so that it will not happen again, or this pandemic will not happen again?
Yeah, I think it's very difficult to say. I think the country circumstances are really so unique. The prevalence of the disease is so unique. Also, just the whole health system, the economic system is so unique that it's a bit difficult to find any particular timeline that might work best for everyone. I think there's really no one size fits all. Maybe the one thing I want to mention, and that's maybe more about managing the recovery, not so much about the speed, but more managing the recovery, I think it's really worth looking at China. China, of course, was affected by the COVID-19 pandemic a bit earlier, but they have been also in the recovery phase for quite a while, and they've introduced quite a few very interesting measures. For instance, I mentioned workers as really a crucial group that will need support, and they've implemented a lot of measures to retrain workers, to really take account of the new normal, but also to use employment services, so helping workers and jobs to connect. And they're doing this very much using digital means, electronic means, so both in terms of the type of intervention, but then also the type of delivery that they're using. I think it's a very interesting example to study.
On that note, thank you very much Dr. Hakim Shmilan, Ahli Ekonomi Kanan Kumpulan Bank Dunia, berkongsi bersama kita berkenaan dengan artikel Defending Livelihoods in Response to COVID-19 ataupun COVID-19. Dan kita akan berhenti berehat seketika, kembali selepas ini lebih banyak perkembangan lanjut berkenaan dengan pembukaan ekonomi di beberapa negara dan juga di negara di Amerika, negeri di Amerika Syarikat. Kita akan berhenti berehat seketika, kembali selepas ini. Bertemu kembali, Presiden Amerika Syarikat Donald Trump menjangka ekonomi Amerika akan mula pulih pada suku ketiga tahun ini. Amerika akan mengumumkan angka KDNK-nya pada Rabu dan ia dijangka akan tumbuh pada kadar negatif untuk suku pertama dan juga ke suku kedua tahun ini.
I don't know, but I can tell you the third and the fourth quarter in particular are going to be, I think, spectacular. We were talking about it with the executives. I think we're going to have a phenomenal third quarter. Nobody, you know, except one country can be held accountable for what happened. I think you're going to have a recovery. Look, I built, they were just telling me inside, and it's fact, I built the greatest economy with the help of 325 million people. I built the greatest economy in the history of the world. We're doing everything in our power to heal the sick and to gradually reopen our nation and to safely get our people back to work. They want to get back to work, and they want to get back to work soon. There's a hunger for getting our country back, and it's happening faster than people would think. Ensuring the health of our economy is vital to ensuring the health of our nation. These goals work in tandem. Today, we're releasing additional guidance on testing to inform the states as they develop their plans for a phased and very safe reopening. Our blueprint describes how states should unlock their full capacity, expand the number of testing platforms, establish monitoring systems to detect local outbreaks, and conduct contact tracing.
Dan ini pula komen pakar berkenaan pembukaan ekonomi secara berperingkat di Georgia, Amerika Syarikat. Menurut pakar, langkah ini dan di banyak lagi negeri lain adalah pramatang. Ini kerana pihak berkuasa masih tiada cara untuk mengesan peningkatan jangkitan COVID-19 jika berlaku akibat pembukaan ekonomi tersebut. Beberapa restoran di Georgia dibuka untuk pelanggan makan di dalam premis dengan jumlah terhad. Dalam masa yang sama, panggung wayang turut dibuka dan perkhidmatan lain seperti kedai gunting rambut, gym, kedai tatu dan juga kedai hiasan kuku juga dibuka Jumaat lepas.
In general, once you open up, there's going to be a delay. There's going to be one case will turn into two cases and it will kind of grow exponentially from there. But it takes a little while to actually see that signal in the same way that it takes a little bit of time to see the signal when an epidemic first begins. And I haven't seen the types of protective sort of barriers or whatever it might be and protective efforts be put into place to really protect the vulnerable in our population, the elderly, people in nursing homes, senior centers, things like that where the virus can transmit. I've seen everyone trying to do what they can, but no real effort, or I should say no real structural changes that would potentially protect these people in the future. And so my concern is that we'll end up right back where we have been, with major cities having healthcare systems that get overrun quickly because of major outbreaks that happen in, you know, one nursing home, you know, today, a different nursing home or center tomorrow, or just across the population in apartment buildings, you know, places where this virus will transmit quickly. So that's, I'm afraid that we'll just end up repeating the past.
Dan ketika ini lebih banyak sektor industri mula dibuka secara berperingkat di beberapa negara Eropah, di Itali dan juga Spanyol, pelbagai langkah diambil di kilang-kilang untuk memastikan pekerja dilindungi dan operasi dapat dibuka.
Di Genoa, Itali, lebih 170 pekerja syarikat pembinaan kapal Fincantieri mula bekerja minggu ini di pusat pembinaan kapal terbesar di Eropah. Penyambungan pekerjaan ini dilakukan 7 minggu selepas Itali mengumumkan arahan tinggal di rumah yang ketat. Sebelum ini, Itali mengumumkan perusahaan yang ingin menyambung kembali operasi harus ada langkah keselamatan dan kesihatan di premis masing-masing. Fincantieri mempunyai lebih 3,000 pekerja dan pembukaan dilakukan dengan membenarkan 5% tambahan pekerja setiap minggu. Sementara itu, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles turut menyambung pengeluaran di kilang terbesar di Itali. Ia turut mengambil langkah keselamatan dan kesihatan untuk mengekang penularan COVID-19 di kilang berkenaan. Di kilang Atessa Civil yang memasang trak kecil dan lori, 6,000 pekerja digaji. Majikan membekalkan pekerja dengan sarung tangan dan topeng muka. Dalam masa yang sama, kepingan plastik jernih diletakkan antara pekerja yang bekerja dalam kumpulan 2 orang. Dalam masa yang sama, kamera dengan pengukur suhu badan turut diletakkan di kawasan pintu masuk. Langkah lain yang diambil termasuk 600 tempat membersihkan alatan yang digunakan ketika tamat syif bekerja. Ini adalah langkah yang dicapai Majikan Kesatuan Sekerja dan Kerajaan. Langkah sama turut digunakan di pejabat. Dalam masa yang sama, pekerja turut digalakkan untuk bekerja di luar pejabat untuk memastikan jumlah pekerja yang rendah di pejabat pada satu-satu masa. Jualan kereta di Eropah dilaporkan jatuh 55% pada Mac selepas langkah tinggal di rumah turut memaksa pengedar untuk tidak beroperasi. Dalam masa yang sama, penularan COVID-19 turut mengeluarkan 1.2 juta kenderaan di Eropah. Industri auto menyumbang 7% kepada KDNK Eropah. Di Spanyol, pengeluaran untuk jenama Seat disambung selepas arahan kekal di rumah selama 6 minggu. Kilang Seat berdekatan Barcelona mengedarkan topeng muka dan sarung tangan kepada pekerja ketika mereka tiba pada waktu pagi. Majikan turut meletakkan tanda mengingatkan pekerja untuk mengekalkan jarak 2 meter. Dalam masa yang sama, tombol pintu turut diubah suai untuk mengelakkan pekerja menyentuh dengan jari mereka. Ketika ini, Seat beroperasi dengan hanya satu shift. Ia akan ditingkatkan dalam minggu-minggu akan datang dan dijangka sampai kapasiti penuh pra-COVID-19 pada Jun. Seat dalam masa yang sama akan mengadakan saringan ke atas kesemua 5,000 pekerjanya.
Dan Thailand melanjutkan tempoh perintah darurat sehingga akhir bulan Mei dan akan mempertimbangkan untuk mengurangkan beberapa sekatan. Jurucakap Pusat Pentadbiran Situasi COVID-19 CSSA Thailand berkata perintah berkurung dari jam 10 malam hingga jam 4 pagi di seluruh negara itu dilanjutkan hingga 31 Mei. Selain itu, CCSA juga bersetuju melanjutkan sekatan perjalanan bagi semua pelancong dari luar negara dan antara wilayah, menyekat perhimpunan besar-besaran dan memperluas dasar bekerja dari rumah. Semalam, Thailand melaporkan 9 kes baru COVID-19 dengan satu kematian menjadikan jumlah kumulatif kes positif 2,931 dan jumlah kematian 52. Thailand sebelum ini mengisytiharkan darurat dari 26 Mac hingga 30 April dalam usaha mengekang pandemik COVID-19 di negara itu. Ia adalah angka terendah sejak 7 Mac dan tiada jangkitan tempatan baru di Bangkok sejak penularan wabak itu dikesan pada Januari lalu. Dan paparan itu mengakhiri Niaga Awani untuk pagi ini. Teruskan bersama kami di Astro Awani. Saya Riza Zulkifli. Salam hormat.